It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, disclaimer, I have my whole head is stuffed of something. I think it's not, it could be concrete, maybe. Something like that. Anyway, this is going to be a very sad episode. So, no, but I, as I told William right before I hit record, he's going to have to keep the entertainment quality up. So, some of you will want to leave now. And for some of you, I'm pretty sure that's like your specific fetish. So, get ready. Right. So, William.
Yes.
I tried kombucha.
You tried it? Oh, you'd never had it before?
Yeah, yes, I know. Yeah, that wasn't a euphemism or something. I literally had never had the beverage kombucha. I only know it as like a joke thing that it smells bad and, you know, things like that. A joke thing that it has trace amounts of alcohol. So if somebody had one at work, I'd like tease them that they were drinking at work and stuff like that. But in general, my gut biome has seemed a bit off lately. So I've been trying to do things like fermented stuff. And I was like, kombucha's fucking everywhere. Let me just have some kombucha and see what that's about. And so I went to Hy-Vee twice and couldn't find the kombucha anywhere. And I was like, how does Hy-Vee has like three different hippie aisles? How does it not have kombucha? And then I found out, oh no, it's just in the back where like the plant-based milk substitutes are. And there's a ton of it. And in fact, Hy-Vee has their own Hy-Vee brand kombucha. There's just a ton of it. So I bought one and I brought it home to have with my lunch. Is a challenging beverage.
I mean, I've never had it. I'm really surprised this is the first time you've had it. It just seems like something you would have.
Generally speaking, health drinks have not been something I'm into for a while.
I know.
Only in the last few years have I started considering issues involving fermented products.
I just thought that like Trish maybe has had them before and she would let you try
she
one.
Still has not. No.
Okay.
And after my experience with her as a witness, I do not think she ever will. but for due diligence,
okay,
I got another one yesterday. Tried again, different flavor. And I think I may keep at it because I still think the benefits, but it is, yeah, it is a challenging beverage.
What about it?
It is not a tasty drink.
Is it like vinegary or, I mean, what is it?
Kind of. That's the thing. It's an incredibly familiar taste is the weird thing. I have drunk something like this before in my life and I didn't enjoy it then either. But I can't seem to recall what it is. The closest I can think is like something I would have had in college to get drunk, although in this case that won't work, but it sort of tastes like the shittiest or even like gone bad sparkling wine almost. And then they flavor it heavily because it would be nigh undrinkable if they didn't. As is, it's just barely drinkable. Yeah, it's a weird deal.
Well, is it?
The problem is, I was on this kick because I actually had a very unsettled stomach late last week, and I got some ginger ale. I specifically got Reed's Zero Sugar. Mm-hmm. I forgot what you had told me is that it is sweetened with stevia. Mm-hmm. I do not like the taste of stevia. Several times now I have discussed, I have had enough of it that I'm just not there. And so while those did help, they also did not taste good. So I was like, you know what, let's try the big guns. We'll get the kombucha. Whew.
Well, did it help though? I mean, is it?
I think so. I think so. It is a problem because it also, because it's a lot of bubbles, gives you a lot of gas. So I think it's one of those things you maybe have to measure on a longer term, but I did notice some help right away. So
okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. We're also looking at other options of things that have fermentation that don't have to be that. Kimchi, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, kimchi.
This.
I was going to say kimchi is very tasty.
Yogurt, of course, but also certain varieties will be more in lines with that. Yeah, we like kimchi a lot, although we agreed you probably have to get the kimchi that is in the refrigerated section for the fermentation to be going on. But anyway, hello, everyone. Magic Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast those labels support for war. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 624.
624.
I'm sorry you're not feeling well. Is it? So it's a head cold kind of
Me
thing.
Me too. Huh? Well, it's been a very slow build. I would say for like 2 weeks, I've kind of been snotty all the time. And it's just started catching up. And then yesterday, I finally took some Sudafed. And then this morning, I was like, oh my God.
See, I don't know how the weather. So, you know, we're going through a period where for the last 20 years in Iowa anyway, it can't decide what season it is. And I guess that used to happen before too, but now it's worse. It's like you'll have a really cold day and a really like what feels hot. Like I'm saying one day it'll be in the 30s and the next day it'll be in the 60s. And that's a huge change, but I don't know how that impacts like, you know, pollen production or any kind of allergens in the air or anything.
Neither do I. And I have always historically been very allergic to Iowa. And there's also stuff like, and this used to apply more before I took care of the house full time. I mean, because now I vacuum regularly and I do the laundry right and all that kind of stuff. But we still are in a house of which a not insignificant percentage has not been cleaned in a long time still, with two cats who shed. And this is the part of the year where for months the house is just closed. So there's something to be said, and I have noticed this in the past, the allergens may be building up. We have a similar cycle when the summer hits and the house is closed with the air conditioning for a long time,
right.
And then we have the spring and fall times where we can open up the house and air it out a little bit, and when all the pollens of every type happen. So I take a Claritin every day 365 days.
No. Yeah, sounds like it.
And I still feel like this is me on Claritin and Sudafed and Aleve, and this is how good I sound.
But you don't think it's a cold though? You think it is probably an allergy?
I don't know. I haven't had any fever or anything. Oh, does that come with a cold or is that a flu one?
But ask with cold too, I think sometimes. Sure.
I did. A friend got COVID and it made me paranoid, so I took a COVID test like a week ago, but I didn't have that. And this also isn't a COVID thing here, so for those of you just joining us, welcome to Tony's sick watch. We have a Haz Magic. Oh, and it's not the hat that is constantly on William's head. You, sir, need to go look at our YouTube things more. Because people ask very interesting questions in the YouTube comments.
They do?
And by people, I mean Maggie. And by very interesting questions, I mean, does William always wear a hat? How come we never see his hair?
Do people want to see my hair?
I mean, people are used to interacting with people in a way that at least on occasion they do see their hair. And therefore people are inclined to think something hinky is going on when they realize that over the course of 600 and how many?
This is 624.
224 episodes, they don't see it. Now, then you stop and you think back and you're like, well, I didn't see most of those episodes at all because they were just audio. But
I didn't have a hat on in our video episodes that we filmed at the library. I didn't have my hat on.
That is true. But I will say this, outside of when we work together, it is rare that I have seen you without a hat.
Yeah, I like hats.
I have done it, but and not just butter cow hats or baseball caps, a variety.
Yeah.
But I can confirm, as I did, that nobody was asking, but just in case, he's not hiding a bald spot or anything like that, unless it is very recent.
No. Like,
technically, I haven't seen your hair in a year, maybe, so it might have kicked in, but the rest of the time,
it's not like particularly gray either. It's all there still, mostly.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know.
But I mean, now I've got hat hair, so it doesn't look very good.
I think it's the Seventh-day Adventist tradition, like Jewish people keeping their head covered. I don't know.
I wear it during the podcast because I don't like how this feels on my head.
Mm.
It's more comfortable to have my hat on, so then I don't even notice this thing up here pressing down on my head. That's most
important. You heard it here first, folks. William still has his fontanel from when he was born. So
I mean, when I'd come over to your house,
the hats because of the soft spot.
I had a hat on when I would record at your house, but that's because I was outside and I just didn't take my hat off. But here I'm wearing it because I don't like how this feels on my head. So that's the thing. I don't know why anybody would be curious about my hair.
We have a different hat. That's magic, not this one. That has his own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People write in the hat, forwards them to us. We talk about them. Show.
Okay.
Sound a little like drunk uncle from Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
So how's shit with you?
You know, mostly just school. I was able to...
2 more weeks of school?
After this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. The last day of classes is our anniversary. St. Patrick's Day. I mean, I was telling you this.
You have to turn in your final paper or you're going to get pinched.
I was telling you this before, but I mean, it's the podcast anniversary, but I always really think of it as like our anniversary, like the Tony and William anniversary. And
despite the fact, yeah, it's interesting how the people that had power over you for a long time and no longer do want to forget about the part where you served under them and any atrocities that might have occurred during that time. No, officially, William and Tony is with this podcast. Yeah. All the rest can just be sort of swept under the rug. We won't teach that in our history classes. It just started here at the first podcast giving.
Well, you know, part of it is because we kind of celebrate the anniversary of the podcast when it's like, you know, every 52 or 53, whatever it is, weeks, you know, it's not always the 17th, but, you know, but that's still a special date for us. Cause that it was St. Patrick's Day when we started. And so I always think of us and not just in the context of podcasting, but our friendship in general. So yes, the last day of classes is St. Patrick's Day, aka our anniversary. That's a Friday, obviously. And I hope there are things I want to get done besides school before then, because there's like administrative type stuff. Like I've got a, you know, the site of my practicum, I have to submit that information eventually. I'd kind of like to do it before the quarter's over, so I don't have to worry about it. But in between time, I only get 3 weeks, and it'd be nice to not have to worry about anything school related for the whole time.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's going to work out, but but yeah. So this week and this past weekend, I was able to. I didn't go home, but I went to Newton. I met the family in Newton, and we
did
had
you go to the Chinese buffet.
No, we just went to Pizza Ranch.
I don't know if the Chinese buffet exists anymore. That was the reason to go there when I was in school.
To Newton?
Newton had a Chinese buffet. And then eventually, Grinnell got a Chinese buffet, so who the fuck cared? But the Newton Ramada Inn had a Chinese restaurant that had sizzling rice soup, and I had certain friends who were obsessed with that, so every once in a while we'd have to go for that.
I mean, Newton's not that close, is it? It's like 30 minutes or 40 minutes away?
20 miles. Really?
It's that? Oh, wow.
It was the nearest thing that had anything any of us gave a shit about.
Huh. Sometimes I get where Grinnell is and where, like, you know, Brooklyn and what's that other one that's right in between there?
Malcolm. Starts with an M. Malcolm. Yeah.
I get them.
Next five exits.
I get them all mixed up. No, but so Grinnell is the one that's
because closest. I was responsible for the newspaper around there.
Yeah.
So I know the individuals that every once in a while, even to this day, I drive on a highway I haven't been and it says the exit is this. And I'm like, holy crap, I used to send 3 newspapers to that town. I had no idea where it actually was.
Yeah. It was a pretty good drive, though. This was on Sunday rather than Saturday, so the traffic was. It's been a long time since I was on 80, and the traffic was like decent. It's usually terrible, but I guess Sundays is
especially around here. They're doing a massive shift in the highway construction, so
which I cannot make heads or tails of that. So
I don't know. Apparently, we're gonna have 23 lanes.
So people who don't know, Interstate 80 comes through Iowa City and Coralville or whatever, but there's also a highway that goes north and just outside of town, just outside of Iowa City, you know, west, there's what in Des Moines they call these mix masters, there's ways for like 4 or 5 different, you know, on ramps and everything, and they cloverleaf and whatever, and they're redoing all of that. I don't know how to make it safer or to accommodate more lanes or something, but when you drive through there and you look at where the overpasses are going to be and kind of the temporary lanes they have while they're building things, I cannot even visualize what this is going to look like or how it's going to work.
There's a huge swath where you're relegated to 2 lanes, but then there's also like 8 lanes around you. Some of which are the old lanes and some of which are new and some of which are maybe illusory. I don't even know. It's a very wide swath of stuff happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, was it a clover leaf before or was it a?
It was a clover leaf. Now they've got those roundabouts on the top because Iowa City is very roundabout happy right now.
Yeah.
Which is really taking off some people. I am super here for it, but no, it's always been a cloverleaf there.
But I'm not
what I'm really thinking really is
what it's going to be.
Craig must be just blown away by this talk of our local highway system in a country he doesn't live. Like, I really hope this means a lot to Craig.
Sorry,
Craig. Yes, Craig, we are new to the roundabout scene. The U.S. has a few, but recently they've really gone whole hog and I like them, but I watch a lot of British stuff. So that's
I do cheap. Too, but I, they also do some wrong. Like the one over on Holiday Road in 12th is too small. It's
yeah. That one is weird.
it's not really a problem. I mean, buses can't even go around it properly. Yeah. And but the roundabouts, all the other ones in the area, I remember when they first, I think I've said this before, when they first were here, I was skeptical about them. But I the first time I went through one, I realized, oh wow, this is really awesome. This is really cool. This is so much better than what was here before. Like the very first time I realized how good they
were. There are still a fair number of people who in the process do not get how they work.
But how? I mean, because I'm stupid and I got it.
Well, presumably somebody told you. It's not like they have directions there.
No, nobody. They do. There's a.
I mean, I guess they do have the yield sign.
Yeah, there's a yield sign, and there's arrows on the road. And if you notice the yield sign, and you realize that it only goes one direction, and you see the arrows, you realize, oh, so all I have to do, like it's not like before where you had to stop, where if you got there at the same time as the person on your right, they went first. All this other, you don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is someone entering. Is someone already in the circle and already, you know, going to pass you? Well, then you yield. If nobody's in the circle before you, you can just go. That's all you have to think about. It's the simplest thing. And I love it. I love how easy it is. Now, the one that's on 12th and Holiday is so small that you really have to pay attention or there's going to be a car accident there. It's just way too small.
It's just a four-way intersection with no stops and a big bump in the middle.
Yeah, that's really what it is. But the legitimate roundabouts are genius, and I think they work great. The very first time I went through one, I remember approaching it. Oh, this is stupid. Oh, why did they do this? But then I saw the yield sign, and then I noticed people are only going one way, and it's like, oh wait, this is actually cool. All I have to worry about is if someone is in there before me, and if they're not, I can go. And that was it. And I thought that's genius. That's brilliant. I loved it. But if you make them too small, like you said, it's just a it's just an intersection, the same intersection with no sides, which I don't know, maybe that's an improvement too. I don't know.
Direct all of your roundabout hating emails to William, please.
Well, you like them, don't you?
I do. Your explanation just now was very final season of Game of Thrones. Again, you're just like, it's so fucking easy. Oh my god, you have to be the dumbest person to have ever screwed it up, listeners. So I'm just predicting.
Okay.
One or two people will be like, dear sir, I was caught on a roundabout and was confused. Consequently, you're calling me a moron, asshole. Sincerely, it only happened to one time.
Point taken. But I'm not, I'm not suggesting these people are stupid. I am suggesting that something might be like with me when I first approached it. I was skeptical and critical before it ever happened. And if I'd stayed in that mode of thinking, I might not have figured out how cool it was. And so it's not a matter of someone being stupid. I think it's a matter of a person, you know, they just want things to be the way they were. Fair enough. Or they're not allowing themselves to see how it works because they just are frustrated. Again, that's not stupidity. That's the same thing that I was experiencing when I approached it.
And part of the point of it and part of the reason they work so well is you have to pay attention.
Yeah, yeah.
At traffic lights, a lot of us are very good now at whatever. When the car goes in front of me, that means I can go. Or if it's a four-way, three people will go and then it's my turn and I don't even have to really look, or if I'm the first one in a line, as long as my peripheral vision can separate a green and a red, good. In a roundabout, you have to be engaged in the intersection.
That's true, but
that
you don't
a lot.
You don't have to pay attention to everything. Like
no, you got to pay attention to the ones on your left.
That's it.
That's or easy. Right if you're Craig, but most of our listeners are not Craig.
And to me, that's easier than before. And for me, anything that's easier is better because I just can't, you know,
no.
I don't have the bandwidth.
I have had people not go because they didn't understand how it yield was worth. Like, they had space to go and they didn't go. I've had people slow down in the roundabout to try and encourage those people to go. I have had someone full on stop in the roundabout to let someone on. And I have one person who almost killed me and them. I think because in their head there were two lanes and there aren't.
Mm.
But they basically tried to go right next to me and I was going exactly where they were going.
I mean, some roundabouts have two lanes, but...
Yeah, but these did not. I don't know. Those are the four big ones I have run into. I agree with William that these people are idiots and should feel shame.
No, they're not idiots.
As he specified earlier, no, but I did not saying say it happens. I have more sympathy for my fellow man than William Ivory Tower White over
here. I'm disputing that anyone has a problem with it because they don't understand it. I'm suggesting it's probably something else.
He once claimed he could go through them backwards and blindfolded, but that was on an earlier episode.
Here's another thing that might happen. The only
time I've ever heard him use the phrase candy ass was when he was explaining this.
Here's another thing, because this could have happened to me too, is a person might, you know, they see the yield sign, they see all the stuff that I did, but they think to themselves, it surely isn't that simple. I mean, I could have done that. And I think that might be another thing, is people are making it more complicated than it actually is, even nowadays, though on some level they do see and understand.
He hangs his head out the window as he goes through and yells, "It is that simple, and don't call me Shirley!" Every time.
I wasn't calling anybody stupid. I'm just saying there are other reasons that people won't like it, or, you know, whatever. Besides
stupidity. I know, I take my role very seriously as your hybrid publicist / hype man, because I know you don't mean that, but if I call it out here, then it gives us a chance to say, like, we addressed it, you know, because we're all friends.
The game you got me is still sitting right here tempting me instead, and I don't want to do my homework because here it is.
Two more weeks. See, this is what comes of gifts being sent at birthdays. It does not account for classwork schedules.
It's a
happy semester hiatus, you would have been like, oh yeah.
It's a fantastic incentive though, because, you know, I'll look at it, I'm like, I just have to get this done.
He wasn't going to finish the semester if I had thought of that.
Right.
He was like, what's even the point?
I mean, I feel that way sometimes, as you know, but I did go to the site to look at some more of these. I'm going to get that one next.
Cool looking shit there.
Oh gosh. Yeah. There's like a superhero one and there's lots of neat ones. This is a really good one though. I can't wait to dig into it.
Yeah. I do hope they like, that's the thing is I've heard they're awesome, but I don't know anybody who's actually like done one. Like the concept is good, but if the execution is not, then what the hell is the point? But I mean, it's highly rated, so I think it's going to be good. But I'll be very curious to see how your experience is.
Well, I can't wait to do it, and I can't wait to talk about it. I'm really excited.
I hope you'll talk about how easy you found it and how anybody who couldn't solve it.
Shut up.
Big old dummies.
Shut up. See, this is a problem I think I have. Well, you know, it's true.
No, because... it 100% is a problem that you have. Like I said, this is the whole reason I make this joke. So that we can address it at the time.
It's
because
not just
I know
here.
That's not what you mean. Yeah. And I'm trying to help you.
And it's not just on the podcast either. I mean, I'm out in the world. I'll say, gosh, I'm stupid because of blah, blah, blah. And everyone around me is thinking, well, I did that. You know, it's like, do you think I'm stupid? No. This is just a thing that I say to myself. Or they misunderstand what I'm saying, like the whole roundabout.
It's like when literally anyone I've ever met in my life talks about how fat they are in front of me.
Yeah. I just.
I always find that one really fascinating. Oh my God, I'm so fat. I'm like right here. I could fit three of you in this space I'm taking up. Like that word means something. So if you're fat, we have to start using astronomy terms. And that is very rude. And of course, that's not what they mean at all, but that's where it is. That's
Oh, man. I thought you told me I'd have to be the entertaining one, and you're just like...
This isn't me being funny. This is a real trauma that has happened in my life. The skinniest people are like, I'm so fat. Basic logic says you should not be saying it. It's I feel all like not quite, but it's a little close to like that's our word. You don't get to use that word. It's horribly insensitive. I don't say that, but you know, I feel close to that.
That's good. Oh, there goes my phone. How was your week? Aside from being sick all the time, I feel so bad.
Great. I had some medical appointments. I have a new CPAP.
A new one?
Yes.
So does your
one like, from this century?
Does it cover like your whole nose and mouth, or does it just cover?
Those are all over the place. Those are very on fashion now. No matter what kind of machine you got, you can get all sorts of different head pieces and they all plug in the same. So I am keeping the same one that I had, which for me is one that covers my entire nose.
Just the nose, okay.
A lot of people nowadays have one that just sits on your nostrils or that pushes in your nostrils or things like that, because then it's very minimally invasive. But the problem is I move around a lot. I like to toss and turn and things like that. And if I'm something like that, I turn once and falls out. So I like the big old... but my machine now is teeny. It gives me a lot more information. It sends it to my phone. It sends it to my doctor via a series of tubes. And it's just way cooler. It has a touch screen and all these settings and stuff. It is a modern thing. I always forget that, not to be all hipster with my sleep apnea, but I was into CPAPs before they were cool. Right. I was into CPAPs before everyone's uncle had one and most of everyone's parents. I was into them before you could have sleep studies at home, before they were small enough to fit inside a suitcase or your average household, before the such thing as an auto PAP existed. And I still have the first machine I got. So it scared the doctors when they saw it. So we have now, among the many features it doesn't have, is the ability to be at all dynamic with the amount of pressure. So now I'm on a machine that goes from what my previous one went to up to much higher and fluctuates depending on how I'm breathing.
Nice.
Which is totally normal for everyone else. Yeah, and it's actually a sad point in my life. I'm like, I am embarrassed by how excited I am to be getting a new CPAP. Like, my life is a joke.
Aww.
This is a highlight, but it's been okay so far. The first day it told me it did not like my mask seal. It was very mad at me. It was mad enough to me that it emailed me tips for how to improve the seal.
Wow.
But what I basically did, because Trish said I was opening my mouth and breathing out my mouth, so I just turned on the humidity, which I didn't normally use in the past. And the next night, it's like, you got a great seal. But now I'm all stuffed up. It's like, why aren't you breathing? I'm like, well, that's the whole deal. So CPAPs can either really help if you're stuffed up or really not work if you're stuffed up, depending on how stuffed up you are. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about.
Are you going to name it? it's communicating with you and evaluating you and stuff. Are you?
I don't know yet. We never named Trish's.
Pappy.
Trish's is for her.
Oh.
And it's got flowers on it. I'm not making this up. I genuinely thought I was going to get one that's for him and it was going to be like gunmetal or some shit. But no, apparently somebody was like, you know, women breathe different when they sleep. And everybody was like, well, he's a stand-up comedian, not a doctor, but let's give it a shot. And they did that. But we didn't make one different for men because, you know, the generic is male. Whatever. But otherwise, it's the same machine, same settings and all that kind of stuff.
Huh.
We'll have to see. But that's not important.
Okay.
I saw some movies.
Mm.
Trying to remember them all.
Okay.
My wife picked a really shitty horror movie called Within, which I specifically hated because it's a movie that is scary and makes you think there's something supernatural, and then it's just people being awful. And that's a terrible surprise for me. But this is a terrible movie.
Did they pull the rubber mask off the person at the end?
Sort of. Yeah. It was. He was just there to get the gold under the amusement park. By the way, you watched Velma? I haven't watched Velma. Apparently, it's the worst show ever. Literally, everyone in the world hates it. But it's getting a second season because everybody's hate watching it, so the ratings are really high.
We watched like
incredibly obnoxious and offensive, and just ugh.
We watched like the maybe I want to say we watched two, but maybe we didn't. Maybe we just watched the first one, didn't like it, so we quit.
Yeah, no, nobody does, but people are watching it and not like it.
I think it's, you know, Mindy Kaling. I think it's like just it's 100% her. And if you're not into her and her brand of whatever, then I don't see how you're going to like it. And if you go there thinking, oh, I'm a Scooby-Doo fan, I'm going to like this.
No.
It's just Mindy Kaling.
It is comedy. First and foremost not for people who like Scooby-Doo.
Well, pretty much. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who like it, and that's you know, whatever, that's your deal, but it's not, wasn't
well, yeah, and I don't care. I wasn't planning on watching it anyway, but then, yeah, it's bad enough that people are making fun of it on the internet in a way that my algorithm points it out, and that hardly ever happens. Anyway, off topic. We watched some movies. We watched We Have a Ghost.
Oh, I'm thinking about watching that. Is it good?
Netflix with Anthony Mackie and David Harbour and Jennifer Coolidge, some other people. It's a Red Notice. That's what calling them now. It's a Red Notice. It's a gray man. It is very expensive and very immaculately produced film. With some big names that you know, and it is very clear that everyone in front of and behind the camera was just phoning it in, but it's a ton of people who are really good at what they do, so they're phoning it in is fine. It is an inoffensive way to spend a couple hours. We laughed. This one's not actiony. This one's a supernatural comedy, very broad strokes, attempts at woke political statements that last for like one scene and nothing. There's nothing wrong with it. There's just also not a lot right with it. So like, watch it, don't watch it. It's fine. A Red Notice.
How do these keep getting made? I mean, I presume the actors...
the bar is so low. We will all watch it. The same reason we keep watching them. I watch them even though I figured out this formula a while ago. I'm like, this one looks like it's going to have... It's the same reason we watch MCU films. It's all the same shit, but we're like, oh, this one has shinies that look interesting. In this case, it's a lot of names that you liked in other things, and this is their vacation.
Well, but I hear what you're saying, and like I'm thinking of Red Notice, and it's easy to think that the actors themselves weren't really putting in the effort, but that strikes me as probably not true. I mean, what makes it, what about these productions make them feel like nobody's really putting in an effort?
Well, because it's not just one part. The dialogue is very uninspired.
Yeah, that's true.
The stories are, if not entirely predictable, which they usually are the kind where you're just putting together the pieces. Oh, they used classic twist number 5 here. Like, I didn't necessarily know it was going to be that one, but yeah, that's on the short list of things that people would expect to happen in this part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but some, a lot of the performances feel pretty half-assed to me also.
Yeah, I know, but that seems that I can't believe that that's actually happening. Like, they're actually showing up.
I will say this was a very different role for what I'm used to seeing Anthony Mackie play. Not a huge jump, but just a little. This isn't the single Anthony Mackie character that I've seen in every other movie. I like him, but he does one thing. This is the second thing that was still very Anthony Mackie of him, but you know, something. David Harbour can't speak, so that's fun. He does a lot of acting with no words, or minimal token words a couple times, you know. Heartfelt moment, he can say one thing. It's, you know, it's like America Worker. Whoa, what? He does that, is what I'm saying. Some young people, some diversity. That's just it. It's weirdly low-key racist in places, I'm gonna be honest. Right down to two of our younger leads coming to bond with each other when they learned that the one of them with an Asian father is really intense and really focused on what their child is supposed to do and how they're supposed to properly be raised. Whereas the one with a black father is like, if my dad had just paid any attention to me, I'd be happy. I had to pause it and I was like, so the Asian parent is real intense and the black parent is neglectful. I don't feel great about that plot choice. And just weird stuff like that. There are a couple of moments where, because there's a lot of black people, the central family's black. And there's a lot of moments where I'm like, I think a white guy wrote that particular aspect. And I don't think that they maybe should have.
Well, you know, there's
that's like real overt, but just sort of, some of the performance choices and stuff. I'm like,
but there's a weird kind of thing, and this happens in my classes too, where they're like, okay, so you have to acknowledge and understand that there's lots of different cultures, lots of different worldviews, and when someone comes into your office, you can't make assumptions about them based on anything, really. You've got to let them tell their story, whatever. But then they go ahead and give you all of these statistics about black people are like this and Asian people are like this. I mean, they'll acknowledge that, well, there's not just Asian people, there's Chinese people, there's Vietnamese people,
yeah, yeah.
And there's subgroups in there, but this is what Asian people are like. I mean, and so for like, and things like what you're talking about, it's like, well, we want to make it diverse, but we also want it, we want to say something by diverse. We don't just want to have a person of that skin color there. We want to represent their culture, but how do you represent their culture without stereotyping it?
No one of that culture is in the process of the people who are deciding what to do here is usually a critical part of this as well.
Well, and that's
because you will see one, you will see some, and this is a tough road to hoe, but it's like certain things expressed by certain people, you're like, that was their experience within that culture, where certain things expressed by people from a different culture, you're like, yeah, you're making some weird assumptions and perpetuating some weird ideas that you don't have to. And you know, one off is one off, but this whole thing is just sort of a little full of that. And this is weird. But anyway, I spent more time on it.
Sorry.
I talked about Death Race last week, but I wasn't. There's three of them here. I forget what the middle one was. Oh! 3,000 Years of Longing!
I don't know.
Yeah, this one really snuck under the radar. Trish spotted it and really wanted to see it, and then finally it got to where we could rent it and watched it. I think it can be summed up pretty quick. I think it's Aronofsky, which, you know. Tilda Swinton is a woman in present day who accidentally releases a genie played by Idris Elba and is granted three wishes, and a tremendous amount of the movie is talking about experiences the genie has had in the past with various wishers and things. But mostly it's just Tilda Swinton hangs out with Idris Elba genie. Those are the key points for if you want to watch it. Because for a lot of people, they're like, shut up and take my money after that part. Trish being one, me kind of being one. I was like, it's not going to be boring. And I like seeing both of those people. It was a good film. It was very interesting, very sweet, very funny. The production was amazing in terms of the VFX and things like that. The story was interestingly told and not told in a way that I get with a lot of Aronofsky, Villeneuve, whoever else. All the auteurs nowadays where I'm like, I didn't really follow what that story was. Like, this story, I can tell what happened. It was a great time. I enjoyed it very much. I recommend it. I haven't thought about it since, and it was several days ago. That's the thing. I had a great time. It's not something that's going to stick with you. It's not. It is not thought-provoking, in my opinion. But I enjoyed it. It was it was a good piece of art. And then last night we watched See How They Run, which is nuts. See, 3,000 Years of Longing recently came out. Kind of nobody heard of it except critics. See How They Run was going to be a big deal, and then I think it kind of got shot down. It is a 1950s British farce that's a meta murder mystery taking place during an Agatha Christie murder mystery.
Oh, like a party that people are having?
Let me back up a little bit.
Okay. And it was made when?
During, it was also made like this year, I think.
Oh.
Or at least came out this year. It's very new. During the, like, we start with the celebration for the 100th episode of Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap in the West End, which is a real thing that is still going to this day, performing constantly in the same theater since the 50s. They've gone through many casts and ridiculous numbers of furniture and stuff like this, but it still happens. Also play I was in high school. Anyway, it is popular enough that they are optioning it off for a film to be made. And so the people who making the film are involved with the people doing the play. Anyway, someone gets murdered. And so someone associated with the Agatha Christie play is killed outside of the Agatha Christie play. And they have to do the police investigation within the backdrop of this Agatha Christie play. And there's a lot of actual real life people in this played by fictional people. One of the main people involved plays Richard Attenborough, but like a very young one, because he was in the initial run of The Mousetrap. So the guy who made the dino DNA from Jurassic Park, a very young version of him is in this movie because, spoiler alerts, Richard Attenborough did a lot of shit before Jurassic Park. Arguably not what he should be most famous for. It's like Alec Guinness in Star Wars. And actually, an Agatha Christie shows up in this. It is very meta because there are a lot of things the movie is cool to watch. The movie is especially cool to watch if you are familiar with the Mousetrap. And it is a lot of very big names in this. Sam Rockwell is in this. Tim Key, who somebody some of you Anglophiles may know, and like he plays a decent size in this. A woman who is an actor I'm very fond of, and her first name looks like it's pronounced Saurice. I don't know that that's correct, but she's a young blonde actor who's been in a bunch of stuff. She's who you get when you can't get the girl who played Sabrina in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. The two of them just like run through all the young blonde parts in art house cinema these days. She carries the fucking film. She is the plucky yet naive constable assigned to help our drunk, unaffected inspector who is on the case, played by Rockwell, Sam Rockwell. It also has a woman who I'm like, I know that expression. She has a very assertive look to her face that I know, and I finally looked her up, and she's the one who plays the mom in His Dark Materials. And she does a marvelous job in this too. Everybody does marvelous. It's very well performed. A lot of people didn't like it, apparently, because they thought it was sort of too goofy and a little too smug, and also was not a very good mystery that held together well. To which I was like, who is watching whodunits for the mystery anymore? I haven't done that in decades. Either, if it's something that you can spot via the clues and not just fucking guessing, it means it's way simple. And if it's not way simple, it means there's bits of information you weren't given. So, yeah, do I occasionally be like, I think it's this person for shits and giggles? Yeah, but my enjoyment of the experience in no way is tied to that. Give me one that has exciting twists and flashbacks and shit that is really thrilling in the moment, and later I'll be like, yeah, that's not how those work. Like, I don't watch Murder, She Wrote to find out who done it. Like, what the hell?
Or Murder Town.
Or Murder Town. Nobody watches Murder Town except the Christmas episode. You've got to watch the Christmas episode for Who Done It, because it's some impressive guesses.
Really good.
But it's just fun. It's very, it feels very Wes Anderson inspired in a lot of ways, but without the sort of bleakness that he hides behind the whimsy. It's just a fun, goofy time. We had a good time with it. I don't think anybody needs to look for much depth. It is presented, I think, because of the Agatha Christie vibe, in a way that you'd think it's very sort of prestige. Again, very Wes Anderson or whatever. It's not. That's just the coat it's wearing. It's just a silly little farce. Don't expect something genius, and you'll have a very fun time. And it's Sam Rockwell doing neither his normal voice or a heavy-duty Southern drawl, Or a weird fake Nazi accent, which are the only three that he does in literally every movie he's ever been in ever. He does an actual British accent here. Not gonna lie, it's not smooth per se. I did not like his character at first, and by the end I'm like, I think it just took me a while for my ears to handle that accent. Once that accent could fall into the background for me, I kind of liked it. But yeah, Saurice, oh God, I can't remember her last name. I'm sure that's not how you pronounce her first name. Absolutely steals the movie. But there are lots of great performers in it.
What was she in? She was it called Birdie or?
No, that's the one who's in The Last of Us.
No, she was in something called Birdie. Bella was, but this gal was in. And I want to say she was the original Hannah, too, but I don't.
You're the original Hannah. Back when you started My Drunk Kitchen. hold on. Oh, I do have one other thing while I'm looking this up. I started gaming again. I am playing in my sister-in-law's D&D game over Zoom. We had our first session.
Wow.
We are silly and having a lot of fun. I am playing a just past middle-aged retired, or no, just past middle-aged halfling, maybe divorcee, you want to say. In the 80s and 90s, there were a lot of stories and movies and novels about middle-aged white ladies going out and getting their groove back, like, late in life. I'm basically doing that if I was a halfling warlock. Except I'm a warlock to ladies of town. So literally, I lived in this small town my whole life, and now that all my children have grown, I have decided my husband's really annoying. And so I wandered out in the woods and met Lady Titania, and now I work for her, and I'm going out to be an adventurer for the first time. And, like, I have a very high charisma, but it's not because I'm charming or good-looking or anything like that. I'm just nice. I'm just solidly nice. Every aspect of my charisma stat is just that I'm that nice. And I'm having a fun time with it so far. I'm with a really obnoxious man-child, except in this case it's a girl-child, who's trying to find herself. And Trish's character, who is not very talkative and really has a thing against bridges. And that's as far as I've gotten to understand her so far. But we're having a fun time.
Good.
All right. Yeah, so Cyrese Ronan was in the original Hannah, I'm pretty sure. She was also in Lady Bird.
Lady Bird, that's what I meant.
Lady Bird. The Greta Gerwig thing.
Yep.
Lovely Bones.
I don't know how to pronounce her first name either. I mean, I've heard her pronounce it.
She was in Grand Budapest Hotel, so she has done some actual Wes Anderson. I don't remember. But yeah, she's really cool. And she does really make me think of the, what's her name, who also has a weird first name, who was in Black Coat's Daughter and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and all of those. They have similar bits they sort of do. But anyway, read us the thing. I think we have one email.
We do, just one.
Do it.
It's from Craig.
Craig. Hey, Craig. Hope you enjoyed all that Iowa City traffic and infrastructure talk. That was for you, baby.
So Craig asks, the subject line is just says Q. I don't know if he thinks we're going to.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Start talking about conspiracy theories and stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't want to.
So he says, the "what message would you give to your younger self" meme is doing the rounds again. But if somehow it was actually possible, how do you think your younger you would react to receiving such a message?
Holy shit, time travel's real. Ah! No, that's probably not.
When I was younger, I thought about this, actually. I thought about,
I'm unsurprised.
Kind of wishing my older self would visit and kind of fill me in so I didn't do something stupid. In retrospect, that probably wouldn't have worked. I think because one of the things I did think about at the time was, how would I know it's me? Because, like, when I was...
Secret password. Duh. You don't even have to tell anybody. It's locked away here. You can never say it out loud. That's what me and my future self did. That's how I knew to follow the path to the great success I have today.
I was not a very, I don't think that would work.
Because the only thing you could think of was password 1234. When I was younger, I thought of a word and I didn't tell anybody. What was it?
No, it wouldn't work because of the kind of person I am. So let's say I'm 10. Let's say I'm 10 years old and some older man approaches me and says, I'm the older version of yourself. And you know, because you wanted me to remember this password, and he'd say it. And even if that was a word in my head, I'd go, wait, is that right? Is that really the word that I would pick? Am I just thinking that word because he tricked me into thinking it or what? Because people can do that, you know.
I was going to say, you're asking me to believe that you're from the future and me, which is hard to swallow, but you have this proof. But unfortunately, the proof you provide proves that either you're a future me, time traveled back, or you're a pervert with telepathy who's trying to kidnap me. And both of those are pretty much equally unviable. So how do I know which one to believe?
I mean, depending on how long he interacts with me beforehand, you know, there are ways that mentalists and magicians get people to think of a word.
Oh, yeah.
Say, and this is the word you're thinking. Oh, how did you know? Well, they get you to, there's ways. But I suppose if he walked right up to me and I guess I wouldn't trust that either, because who knows? I don't think I would trust a password. I don't think I would trust if they know something. Like whenever in a movie I see someone, well, tell me something that only so-and-so would know. I would be like, how do I know that for sure? How do I know they didn't see? How do they know they weren't told? How do I know? That's another thing. How do I know that someone I know hasn't fed them this information to trick me into thinking I was a very untrusting person? I would have had a really hard time with things like passwords. No,
I think I'm with you. Here's the problem. Not only are there a lot of plot holes like that, there's no incentive, in my opinion. Like, I don't want to send, I mean, maybe very specific things, like a real shitty thing happened one day, and as near as I can tell, it didn't really have a huge impact on what kind of person I became afterwards. So I would love to tell you, like, don't go there that day, because it'll be a shitty time. But like, in terms of where my life ended up, or like my life ended up so far afield of literally anything I ever imagined, and I am so satisfied in it that I'm just like, I don't want to disrupt this. I always thought omens from the future and stuff are just a bad time, because it sort of takes away your free will, or at least it influences in weird ass ways. I'm like, no, if the future is really good, I had to go through all that shit to get there. So the only reason to send a word back from the future is if my life sucks. My life don't suck.
I mean, when I was 10, I didn't really have a sense of, I did think about, you know, my future self coming back and saying something to me, but I didn't think about like time travel stories. Yeah. I didn't think about that stuff. I didn't think about how, if that happened, it would mess up his present or anything. I didn't think about any of that. All I thought about was how cool it would be to know what was going to happen. And so I just imagined myself from the future telling me, but then I immediately thought, I can't think of a single way that I would believe that this person, because even at 10 years old, I understood some of the ways that you, not using telepathy or anything like that, but just regular stage magic and getting Confederates kind of things to fool a person. And I just wouldn't have, I think I would have been so skeptical. I don't think I would have believed that person.
You can take the white boy out of the carnival, but you can't take the carny out of the white boy. No, I have this one that's just a fun daydream of mine, where I can go back in time and have a conversation with somebody who, as a matter of historical record, went on to do things or whatever, and just talk to them about it and get their reaction. But then afterwards, I sort of mind wipe them that the whole thing happened, because I just would really enjoy going back to Grinnell in the late 90s and finding young Kumail Nanjiani. And I'm like, you're going to be a fucking movie star. You're going to get nominated for Oscars in writing, not in act. But later, you're going to be in a whole bunch of movies. Like there's just so much that I would just love to see his eyes light up and see how he reacts to that. Because there's no way he predicted any of that. But then I don't want it to influence him. So I'd be like, no, we didn't have this conversation. Go back to sleep. So yeah, what I'm saying is I'm a sad man with sad fantasies. Or just tell idiots too, like, you're going to do something that eventually is going to make you bankrupt, you dumbass.
Now, let's assume for a second that I believe me.
All right.
Let's assume that, because that's another way to look at this. It's like, not don't just think William, about how...
It's time to tell you, I am you from the future.
Yeah.
You get a lot shorter and fatter, and I can say that. And eventually you lose all hope in humanity, and so you meet up with your previous self to try and get back that sense of, you know, camaraderie with your species. And I gotta tell you, it results into some solid podcast episodes, but not a lot of revitalization of your hope. Sorry. Also, okay. Your password was EXCPD.
So
PSWD.
My first answer is little Billy wouldn't believe William, so it'd be pointless. But if Billy did believe, it would depend on what
believe Billy believe.
It would all depend on what William says. It would all depend on that, because that's the whole point of me wanting
define it in the sentence that you're saying here.
What does William say to little Billy? What does he tell him about his future? Or does he talk about his future? What kind of conversation do they have?
Okay. Okay, fucking Yoda. I don't think Craig has an answer for that. Why don't you extrapolate?
What I'm saying is if either young Billy won't believe it, so it's moot, or he will believe it, and he'll be very interested in whatever William has to say and how he responds to that. You know, it's just going to depend. Now, I don't know. I have to figure out what I would, is it me? Is it me, or is it 70-year-old me, or who is it? Which
I think it's you.
Just me.
I mean, it's really annoying if it's you in the future coming back to you in your 50s and still calling you Billy.
No, me in the future going back to skipping me and going back to Billy and talking to Billy.
Now in the middle, you're gonna do some bullshit that really nobody's into, but it can't be helped. You'll have a few years of a podcast. Don't ask what it is. It's not worth remembering. But eventually.
I mean, this is relevant because all right, so I'm 10 years old, and 54-year-old William shows up and says, hey.
I think so. That's how I interpret this.
And 10-year-old Billy won't believe it, but let's say he does. The next thing he's going to say is, why don't you go back? Wait a few more years, because I don't care where you're at 54. I want to know what the whole picture is, and you can't, unless you think you're going to die tomorrow, 54-year-old William, go back. And come back when you're older, so I could get more information.
You're like, I didn't remember how fucking ungrateful I was at age 10. When somebody can come back 40 years in the future with all the knowledge and wisdom acquired, and they're like, go back till the end. I want to know what happens right then. Well, you know what? Well, fuck, maybe I'll just kill myself right now to justify the best way for this time-traveled story to work for you. Asshole, you know what? Never mind. Don't even go to college. Take up drinking. Dumb kid.
I mean, because like I said, I thought about this when I was around that age, and I wasn't interested in talking to 54-year-old William. I was interested I was interested in talking to 98-year-old.
Sorry, you teed William. Me up real well with that one.
I know. But you see what I'm saying? When I thought of some...
No, I get it. I get it. And it's much more... And I think I'm with you. I don't want critical information to guide my life into the loop you're already doing. At best, I want a much more verifiable like episode of This Is Your Life, just for fun. You're like, yeah, talk me through it. I think that's way cooler.
I mean, because what if I'm going to live another 30 years? That's 30 years.
But you and I are always of the school of we like where we are now and we couldn't be here without things having gone exactly the way they went. So we don't want to fuck with it. You and I don't have a lot of regrets in that sense.
Not in that sense, no.
Yeah. We're famous for it. I mean, if we're famous for anything.
But yeah, I mean, I did think about it when I was a kid, but I always expected if it, you know, when I imagined it happening, it was a very old man. It wasn't someone my grandparents' age, which was, when I was 10, my grandparents were the age I am now, basically. It wasn't someone my grandparents' age. It was someone like really old.
I was going to say, though, most 10-year-olds I know, 54 is really old. Like,
well,
when I was 10, people in their 50s and people in their 70s were not a big distinction for me.
Was for me. Well, that's because I knew, you know, we interacted a lot with people who were like, you know, I had a really good sense of my grandparents being in their 50s, but this other group of people that we would hang out with and talk to being in like their 80s. I mean, the difference to me was
past 30. Weird. You're all old.
See, I didn't think like that. I don't know why. We interacted. I probably interacted with more older people than other kids my age because we went to nursing homes and stuff. And my folks. And
I'm pretty sure you were born in your 40s. So I mean, maybe you just like sensed it. You're like, I've skipped a generation within my own life.
My folks had older relatives that we visited. We went to their houses and just sort of sat and visited and stuff, you know, people who were a lot older than my grandparents. So maybe it's just about who you talk to and who you're exposed to.
Well, and it's probably timing. I had relatively old parents. I had a lot. I was for many years the youngest member of my extended family as far as I was concerned. Like there were younger ones, but of the family that I saw regularly,
mm-hmm.
I was the youngest cousin and all that stuff. And so when I was born, everybody was already kind of old. But no, it I just remember like in my brain, it's really a thing. Like 18, you're an adult. And for a long time, it was just like, because it all seemed so far out there. And nowadays I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be 80 real soon. It all just goes faster for me. And just like the years, the hour goes faster for me. We are out of time, people. Now I get to go lie down again. Yay.
I just imagine me showing up with little Billy and Billy's ask the question. I know he's going to ask, how does it end? Well, I don't know. I'm only 54. Well, what are you doing here?
Should I which toys should I hold on to because they'll be worth a lot of money later?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
That's what if I could go back in time, I would tell myself, get rid of the stupid G.I. Joe stuff, keep He-Man and the Guns of Navarone playset, and do not let them go, except for large amounts of money.
You had a Guns of Navarone playset?
I had a Guns of Navarone playset.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sure at least one .com billionaire got their seed money from selling one of those motherfuckers. Anyway, go to the blog magicaltalkinghat.com and give us your thoughts and feelings about all of William's life. And don't just go there, as Maggie shows us. Go to the YouTube. A lot of you are watching the YouTube now. Put comments under the YouTube. That's how you make money, I think. I don't know, but there's separate conversations going on there. And you, Mr. Man, need to go check it out. I have automated things to tell me, but you need to go and just check the latest ones because sometimes there's stuff there.
Mm.
By stuff, I mean Maggie, because it's usually her.
Okay.
But she and I are having a great talk. Y'all should join. So maybe we just decided Team Jazz is all on the blog and Team Maggie is on the other. Maybe we can start some intra-podcast beef. That would be fun. Also, that was our last email, so please send us in some more. TheMagicTalkingHat@gmail.com and do all of the things we normally talk about, but I'm very tired now, so I'm going to go. I would like to end this with the inspirational quote. So until next week, I want to quote from Lauryn Hill out of the great hip-hop track by the Fugees, Ready or Not. As she specifies in Ready or Not, quote, while you imitating Al Capone, I'll be Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.